All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As you might have guessed from the introduction, I am fascinated by the history of colonial America, particularly with the events that led up to and followed the Declaration of Independence. John Adams commissioned 200 official copies of the Declaration, which were completed around 1823 and then distributed. He and his fellow signers knew that they were making history, and they wanted to preserve the moment. Maybe you've seen the original Declaration in Washington, D.C., and witnessed firsthand the high level of security that protects this priceless founding document. The copies commissioned by Adams are almost as valuable. We know where most of them are located, so the story of Michael Sparks is all the more astonishing. In 2007, Sparks, a Nashville music equipment technician, stumbled across an incalculable treasure in a most unlikely place. He was browsing through a local thrift store and saw what he took to be a souvenir copy of the Declaration, which looked older than but very similar to countless others sold around the world. He was in for a surprise. When Sparks got home, he realized that there was something unique about the old parchment he had found. "This one was so beautiful, I thought it was an engraving. I look for things that have quality to them." Today, the copy Sparks bought at Music City Thrift Store is considered to be the most well-preserved of the 200 copies from 1823. He purchased it for $2.48 and sold it to an auction house for around $477,000. The point is, we can miss the value of something if we don't know what it is. Imagine how many shoppers had casually walked by the copy of the Declaration day after day. Think of how the shop owners felt when they realized what a treasure had been in their possession all along. What would you do if you found out that you had a nearly $500,000 prize sitting around the house? In reality, we have something better than what Sparks found. We have God's Word, safeguarded through millennia, at our fingertips. But we can miss it if we don't know what it is. God wants to help us avoid such tragedy, so he tells us over and over what his word is. In what follows, we'll examine a central biblical text about the nature and function of God's word. Paul's last words. 2 Timothy is one of the last letters Paul wrote. It is one of three books of the New Testament known as the pastoral epistles. The other two are 1 Timothy and Titus, because it was written to a pastor in the early church. We are reading some of the last words the apostle wrote, as best we can tell. Over the course of his life as one of Jesus' apostles, Paul had seen just about everything in the churches he pastored and planted, from people speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 through 25, to miracles, Acts chapter 20, verses 9 through 12, and chapter 28, verses 3 through 6. To the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. As he pens his last words, we would expect Paul to say something like this: "Here is the main thing I want you to remember. Focus on the miracles. Make sure that everybody sees people speaking in tongues so that they will know this gospel is for real." But he does not say anything like that. Instead, the greater part of his message in the pastoral epistles focuses on two subjects: false teaching and church government. In other words, what we might consider mundane subjects are in fact vital to understanding and furthering the mission of Christ, according to Paul. So when we come to the end of 2 Timothy, true to form, Paul has warned us about false teachers. In chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he draws our attention to the bedrock of the gospel, the Word of God. In fact, these two verses might be the most important statement in Scripture, on Scripture.